we're all in this together. And the greatest thing about what we're doing with kids is that some of us might have asked for it, and some of us might have been surprised, like us, five times. You would think by the fifth one we would know how it worked, but no. And so no matter how we got into this, we didn't do it. You know, the Lord gifted us with these children. And he did it in different ways for some of us. Some of us, our children were knit outside of our womb and somebody else's. And yet the Lord gave them to you because you're actually the best person for the job, really and truly. So breathe. I mean, it's not, and he uses these great words called in him, by him, and through him. So if you're feeling heavy, let it, I mean, really, park whatever ideas you have or the heaviness you have, just put it in a bag and leave it outside just for the moment. I'm so glad y'all found each other. Okay, I'm going to just start us with prayer, if that's okay with you. Father God, got plenty of words to fill up many a moment, and I just ask that you will put on my mind the words that you would have to encourage all of us here, to encourage us in this wonderful job that you've given us to love these kids, because you love them so much more than we do, which is very hard to imagine. And we just, we ask that you will help us to understand what it means to believe and trust in you and to not look at the ways of the world, but to look at the one who never changes. And we ask you to share with us practical tips of how to do this and how to train warriors for your name's sake, for your glory, because we need them. And because you created them to do such things. And so I just ask that you'll go before this evening, go before me, go before each one of our thoughts. May your Holy Spirit just guide our thinking to ways that we can love and encourage these kids to be all that you prepared them in advance to be. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so I'm Kay. I have five children. The oldest right now is 17. So tell me out there, like, do we have parents of teenagers? Oh yeah, isn't it? It's just so mind-numbing, I think. I don't know about y'all. okay, and so I have a 17, 15, 13, and then I have an 11-year-old, so I have a tween also. So we got tween parents out here too? Yeah, lots of those. And then I have a 7-year-old who just turned 7. So I would technically be out of MOPS this year, but I could have been in it for a long time. And guys, that's mothers of preschoolers. Okay, so do we have littles in here too? And infants. Are there any of those? It's so bright. Does it have to be so bright? Okay, and now, and just knowing that I'm recording, I will try and speak in complete sentences. With our five kids, I found myself on an adventure a couple years ago that I didn't quite expect. And I was never, because I had five kids, I was never ever really put into a category of a helicopter parent, because I'm not organized and I'm really flaky. I really out myself and no one believes me. And I'm like, listen, I am the queen flake. I can't remember where to go. Three times this last week, I found myself in the parking lot of schools and school is out. And I was like, what am I doing here? I mean, I was just like on autopilot. And by the third time, I was thinking, surely I didn't do this again. And that would include the countless times that I would show up through carpool line with no kid to pick up. And the gals looking at me like, you did it again. And I'm thinking, yes, I am. Yes, 30 minutes wasted, you know. And so I actually am a flake. I am an enabler, which I didn't realize I was an enabler until one fateful day when I was driving down Preston Road and I was sitting, I drive. I mean, that's really what I do. You hit this point and all you do is get in the car. And I live in my car and that's about it. And then I listen to conversations. And I speak a lot, but nobody listens. I learned that too. One day I was driving with one of my children. She got in and her whole carload of buddies got in, and it doesn't matter if your last name is Wima or not, because if you're in my car, you're getting whatever's coming out. And so these little girls in the back are talking about somebody else and who they liked, and they're like, oh, can you believe she likes him? And it's so gross. And I can't believe that. And then they're dissing on this girl, and I was like, oh, no, you didn't. And I start going out, and I was like, is she in our car? And they're like, vroom, you know, and thinking, well, of course, we listen. Do they not know that we listen to the whole thing? And then it's very hard to not participate. And so these little girls are in the back, and it's like, is she in here? Well, no, ma'am. And it's like, well, would you like it if somebody was talking about you and you weren't in the car? And then I go down this lecture of how rude that is, and it's inappropriate, you know. And then I throw in some humor, and it was a good one. I sat there at the end happy with myself. And I turned to my daughter, and who's sitting shotgun, and I was like, did you hear anything I said? And she looked at me, and she goes, all I hear is blah, 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 blah. And I was like, I've always felt like a Far Side cartoon, you know? It really is true, because it's like the, you know, wah, 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 there's nothing, nothing. Okay, so I'm driving down the road. This day I had my then 14-year-old boy, and then everybody else behind, and we happened to have a Porsche on our right and a Lexus on our left and a Maserati in front of us. Yes, I had no idea what a Maserati is, but I know you boys, and you know, okay? So this 14-year-old says out loud, which I've always wondered if he would go back and relive this day. And he said, which one of those cars do you think I'd look good in at 16? And I was like, and I'm swallowing the vomit in my throat. And I'm like, And I'm thinking, have you not heard any of my lectures? We've been to Brother Bill's, and we've shelved all of the groceries, you know? And I'm like, we've served. We've gone and read to the little kids. And they don't hear anything. And I'm going, service is so much better than getting things. It's always better to give than receive. And he's just looking at me, and he goes, yeah, the Porsche. The Porsche is the one I think I'd look good in. And he goes, can you get that for me? And I was like, what? And I look at him, and I really said, what planet do you live on? You know, because I'm thinking what he did at that point, it involved a screen and a remote control. And I'm like, that's so not going to happen. And I said, well, good luck with that. I hope you can afford it. And then I threw in, by the time you can afford that car, I hope you don't want it, you know, because it really grossed me out. And his father's a missionary kid. So the thought that his kid, I just cringed at it. And so I drove, and I drop him off at school, and then I leave, and I did what we do. I called my sister-in-law, and then I started complaining about my child. And I was like, you're not going to believe what he said this morning. It was the worst thing ever. And he said he wanted to drive a Porsche. And she goes, well, you're not going to believe what happened in my house, because this is what we do. She has 7 children, so clearly she was not in the health class either when they taught you about that. And she was my best friend since kindergarten. So Wichita Falls, Texas needs help in their health, you know. And we don't know how that works. And so she says to me, she has the golden child. And the golden child, if you've got the gold, it's the firstborn. Does anybody have the golden child in this room? It's like butter, whoever's got that kid. Yeah, that kid does no wrong. This child is now 24. He still does no wrong. He walks in the room, and it's like angels sing. And we're like, Johnny. And we all just sit there and look at him. And so I have the platinum, though, because the very last one is better than the golden one. Who knew? And so she says to me that morning, they have 7 children, and it was his turn to take out the garbage. And so you can imagine in that home with 9 people that taking out the garbage is a task that's fairly important. And so that week, she had decided to let him do it his way. So his definition of taking out the garbage was pulling it out of the receptacle and setting it by the back door. And that was it. So for the entire week, she let it pile up on the back door. And that was a Friday. And she said, you're not going to believe it, but this morning, he literally climbed over a mountain of trash to go get in his car. And I was like, oh, no. And she was like, I know. And I was like, wow, these children, clunk, you know. And then, because it's so gross. And we all know it because we live it. And so I go home that morning, and I open my door, and everything from breakfast is left out. Every dish, you know, and of course I hurt my feet on the Legos that were scattered across the floor, and every bed was unmade, every bathroom was cluttery, you name it. And I sat on my couch for a minute, and I had a moment actually thinking, we're messing this up. Something is not right, because they are looking to me to do everything for them. And that's just not right. And then I sat there and I was like, man, they're looking to the state to serve them. And then I was like, oh, I'm the state. And then I was like, oh my gosh, I'm grooming socialism and I don't even believe in that, you know? And I was like, it is so over. And so all you need is a frustrated mother, and it is O-V-E-R. And we all know that, don't we? You guys know that, too. It's like, don't make mom mad, because when mom is mad, things change. And I sat there, and I went through my house, and I was like, they don't know how to do anything in the kitchen. Oh, that is so changing. And I really did. I went down the room, and I had started a blog, which I'm way too old to do that. Really, I am actually, I'm 48, so I am too old to do that. But we go to Watermark, and it was all these young people, and they lived life through blogs. I thought it was so interesting. I was like, why would you ever do that? And then I thought, oh my gosh, my 14-year-old hit those teenage years, and I needed help. And I wanted mops for me, for mots. I wanted mothers of teens, you know, to say, this is wrong, go get help, or that's regular, you know. They do. They just shut themselves in a room at about 16, and I think they come out when they're 18, but I'm not sure, because we're not on the other side of that. And I was like, ooh, I can start a blog for that, and I can get guest speakers to come on and opine about that stuff. And then I sat there on the couch that day going, I am so changing everything in this house, and I'm going to blog about it. And I thought, that would be so funny, because with that many children and with me, it will definitely be a disaster, and it could be hilarious. And then people might read the blog for good information from experts, not me. And so that was a fateful day for me, because I really drew the line in the sand. And because I decided to put it online for some insane reason, I had to be held accountable to it. And it's one of those things, I would never look back and change it, because I didn't realize the problem that we are having in this country today. And it's not just in this country, it's actually around the world. And it's a problem that is crippling a generation, literally crippling them, because enabling does something that's called atrophy, and it takes muscles that could be used and can be used and should be used and basically shuts them down. What a disservice to these amazing kids, okay? So if I hit a problem, I like to start and go, because I want to know if it's a problem, because if it is, I'm all for it. And so I like to do the who, what, when, where, and why. And when I started looking around, I found so many parodies on this, and I thought I'd show you guys one tonight. This is, and I'm just going to tell you that parodies are sometimes rated PG, and so this one might be, it's not PG-13, but it is PG. Now, which really irritates me, do y'all have 13-year-olds? Okay, who came up with PG-13? Does it not drive you crazy? It's like, why would you do that? Because you're not even going to see the PG-13s. And then your 13-year-old is like, well, I'm 13. And then it's like, well, I can so see that. It says PG-13. And I'm like, no, we're not doing that. This one has a small, tiniest little cuss word in it. So I'm apologizing for that up front. But it is so funny. It's Fred Armistead. Can you see it?
Can I help you? Hi, yes. I'm with the Surf Rider Foundation, and I was hoping you would sign this petition to help us ban plastic bags in Oregon.
I don't think I want to do that.
Oh, a skeptic. Okay.
I think I need to read the appropriate literature before I sign anything.
Okay. Here you go.
Thank you.
Yeah. Hi, how are you? I'm Malcolm Singer.
Hi, I'm Chris.
How are you? That's our son, Alex. You just spoke to him before.
Yeah. Could you just explain, help us to understand why you would shut the door on our son?
I'm the type that I have to read it first, have it right in my brain, and then I'll decide.
But he's the type, and we're the type, that needs instant answers.
That's unfortunate.
It's actually fortunate, because that's a way that a person learns.
You know what? Let's try it again.
Let's try it again.
For Alex's
sake.
Hello,
Alex.
Okay.
Nice to see you.
What was the name of your organization?
The Surf Rider Foundation.
All right, son, you did.
That sounds convincing
to
me.
You did so good.
Yeah. Have you read the literature, though, that you're...
Hey, listen. Literature is one of those things that everyone knows. One of those things you can look through. I think you're going to be fine as long as you know it. This kid's a good guy.
I'm sure he is.
And, you know, just sign it. Dang, I'm getting it.
Close the door.
You're nice.
Thank you. Can I help you?
Hi. I'm from the Surf Rider Foundation. My name is Alex.
Uh-huh.
And I was hoping you would sign this petition to help us ban plastic bags in Oregon.
Tell me more. Just making sure you're smiling at him. Tell me more.
They cause pelican cancer?
They don't cause pelican cancer.
Who knows?
Does it say it in there?
They do.
Can you show me?
Shrug. And
that means what?
That means it's for you to decide. He's doing pretty good.
Well, not if he's telling people plastic bags cause pelican cancer.
Let's try this. Just move your mouth and I'll just do it for you.
So, well, you look pretty great. I mean, I think everybody looks pretty great.
I mean, people in general, they're always looking good and they're trying their best. Anyway, well, hey, listen, just sign it and let's get out of here.
Get a life and stop smothering your child.
I'm sorry. No. I failed.
No, you didn't.
Hi, I understand that my son and his wife were here because you wouldn't sign my grandson's petition. And I was just wondering why you won't sign the petition. I feel like I haven't done my job if they can't convince you. They did a good job, didn't they? Just sign it. Oh! Oh!
I think we should go to ice cream.
Ice cream.
Ice cream.
Ice cream.
Oh my gosh. I tell you, I laugh every single time I see that thing. It's so pathetic. And it's everything. I mean, you have him saying everything for him. You have him right there. And then you have this grown man getting into a car seat. And that really is on the other side of all this. Because do you think they love their kid? Absolutely. I mean, that's why they're doing it, because they love him. And we've all been sort of duped into thinking that that's the right thing to do, okay? Because we get it from when they're in grade school, and we have to check every backpack before it goes in, because or the online grading systems, because you have to know. You can know every single minute of every single day everything your child is doing. What's up with that? You know, because did... I don't know about you guys, but we got six-week report cards. And where did those go? Because that would be so much more helpful, really, for everyone involved, because then your child is responsible for the work that they're doing. And it's better for them, by the way. Because guess what? They can do it. You did it, and so can they. And so on the other side of this is a person that's a shell of a person, a really nice person, but really not everything they could be, because very well-meaning parents have stepped in. Okay, oh, I have... That's so funny. I have the slide thing. See, I'm telling you, flaky, so believe it. And I'm technologically challenged, so I'm sitting here looking at this thing going, I wonder which button I pushed. So I'm going to try this one. Yeah. Okay, so if you do, for me, I love to know the who, what, when, where, and why. Okay, this is the who, and that would be our house. And really, there's the girls' bathroom. And I know it's kind of far away, but I am just telling you that everything they owned was out there in that bathroom. And it was gross. And on the floor, too. And then the boys' bedroom, well, my boys share because we have five kids, and they had to share a room. So that's making the bed for them. And it kind of looks more like a bar. And then the truth be told, that's my bed. So it's pathetic. It's like the apple does not fall too far from the tree because I can't even make my own bed. And so who is it? It's moms and dads everywhere, okay, racing in to save their kids, to manipulate, finagle, to make sure that everything's okay. And we bubble wrap them. Why? Because we love them, okay? And we think we have to. But it's such a shame because we don't. What are we doing? We're enabling versus equipping. Okay, enabling really means doing something for somebody, something that they could actually do on their own. And equipping is just the opposite. Equipping falls in that training category, which we're going to get to later, which we all, when I had my first kid, you know how you send out birth announcements? Did y'all send them out? I would always create them and never send them. In fact, on our last move, I might have actually thrown away three boxes of already addressed. Isn't that pathetic? I just couldn't even send them because I would create them. But one of the verses that was so hot when we had our first child was to train up a child in the way he should go, and when they get old from it, they will not depart from it. And as a young mother who wanted more than anything to do right by these kids, because they... Could you ever imagine loving somebody as much as you love these kids? And is there anything in your life you'd rather do better than parent? You know, it's like the job's okay, the volunteering, the everything, it's all right. But these kids, that I actually care about. And so I sunk my teeth on that train up your child, and I got the paintbrush out, and I painted scripture around every one of their rooms. I put scriptures on the top of their ceiling, you know, right at the top of the wall to the ceiling, and I was thinking, oh, they'll see the scripture, and it'll go into them. And I didn't realize that so much of training is teaching them how to do it and showing them how and getting the heck out of the way, because that's what training is. And it wasn't until later that I really figured that out. equipping is where you want your kid. Because on the other side of it, as I sat in that on my couch, kind of with the weight of the world coming down and being completely grossed out by the fact that my kids did not know how to do their laundry, like nothing. They didn't know how to do anything in the kitchen. They did for sure didn't know how to go to the grocery store because, heaven forbid, I let them go in there with me. I might have, like, actually gotten our 11-year-old neighbor to come with me to the grocery store so I could leave the kids in the car and I could go in, because it was such a nightmare having all of those children in the grocery store pulling everything off the shelves, because that's what they do. You go into Target and it's like magnets, you know, they see it and they're like, wow, and they have to pull it off, and they're doing this and you're exhausted and it's like, no, and then some old lady comes up to you and she's like, oh honey, it's over in a blink, you know, and you're like, is it not so true? It's like, please. And then you have the glory days, and then they hit the teen years, and you're doing the same thing. And people are like, there's a college for everyone. And it's like, no, there's not. At least that's how I feel. I'm not on the college for everyone thing yet. Some lady told me that this morning with her friend that was older, and they're like, oh, you're in the trenches. It didn't feel very good. It wasn't that encouraging. Except they kept telling me I was going to get out. So hopefully, I think I have a lot of years in the trenches. But the equipping is what we want for our kids to be able to be independent, okay? On the helicoptering stuff, my kids were all back to back to back. They're 17, 15, 13, and 11 right now, okay? So when I went to the playground, I could never be one of those mothers that stood on the, you know the huge openings where you're like, ah, because you can go to a playground at any time and see this. It's like, oh, and then they're like, whoa, and then they're like, ah, you know, because every toddler is going up. They see it and it's like, I'm not supposed to do that. I am so there. And then you just pray that they won't fall over. I would take them up there because there were so many of them and I was so exhausted and that bench looked good to me. And I would say, by the way, this drop-off thing, this thing right here, you go there and it will hurt. And I'd be like, don't do that. And then I'd go sit down. And I would see these mothers next to me, and they'd be like, oh, my gosh. And they're like, oh, my, where is that child's mother? And the other one would be like, oh, it must be one of those nannies over there talking. And I would just be sitting there going, this is going to be so awkward when I get up. And they know those are my children. And then I would, like, cross that park off and go to another park, you know, hoping that no one would follow me. And you want to know how many of my kids stepped off that thing? How many? Not one. Not one. Because they are not stupid. You know? They really aren't. Now, I did have one that fell down the stairs at least 5 times, which I would think, honey, do you not know? I mean, it was like, oh my gosh, surely that hurts. But he does have a hard head. He is one stubborn kid. And it was interesting to me that those boundaries, and I remember sitting there thinking, I bet I could teach them not to walk in the street too, because I taught my dog to not walk in the street, you know? And yeah, and so there was always that rite of passage about two, when they would toddle down the street and then they would never toddle down the street again, you know? Because the boundaries were there, and then they could live within the boundaries. And there's been new studies that have done on playgrounds. Have y'all heard about this, about the playgrounds with fences and the ones without fences? Do you know which ones the kids play freely in? The one with fences. Because they feel safe, okay? And there come boundaries, and that's why so much of it is good. That's why the Lord gives us boundaries. To give you freedom. It's oxymoronic. It doesn't make sense, does it? It's like, how could a fence mean freedom? It does. Because it gives you the boundaries from within which you can operate. And it's the same for our kids. And if we let them in this very well-meaning way not have that anchoring at home, they kind of float. And then they do look to this thing. And this thing is brutal. When my kids were very, like my 17-year-old, this did not exist. I didn't get a cell phone until we had our fourth child, and probably after that. And even then, it was one of those flip phones. So, you know, all it had was number. And then people started texting, and it was like, what in the world is texting? And then you'd have to look at the number going, okay, A, B, C, D, all right, A. And then it'd be like, okay, E, F, G, okay, G. And it'd be, and then I'd think, that is just so not happening. And so this is new. This is new. This is a handheld computer. It's something that is not new to them. There are kids in this room, if you have little toddlers, they will never go a day in their life without having touched this thing. And that is a part of, this is a part of their life. It's not something to be afraid of, but it's certainly something to respect and know what's going on, okay? And I will tell you that so much of this thing is just like the ways of the world. It's enticing to them. They look at it and they think that it will define them. Because teenage girls and tween girls, this is, oh my gosh, it is it. Because their likes and not likes and their shares and their not shares, and they move. It doesn't matter like what you tell them they can be on. It was Facebook years ago. It's not Facebook for them anymore. And then it was Twitter. Well, it's not Twitter anymore. And now it's Pinterest or it's Instagram. It's all these things. Is anybody tracking? Do you get it? And then they do this, and they look at the likes, and they're like, oh, I got 5 likes. Oh, I didn't get any likes. Why didn't I get a like? And so their self-esteem is like, up, down, up, down. How brutal to put your self-esteem of a child in the hands of this thing, okay? You don't have to. And not the boundaries that you put on it are good because they tell your child you love them. So when I was coming here, my 15-year-old daughter said to me, can I get in the pool with her 15-year-old friend? And I have 2 children there, one that's 7 and one that's 11, okay? The 11-year-old is on the swim team. But still, it's an 11-year-old, okay? And the 7-year-old, I know he can swim, but he's 7. And I said, honey, no, because if you get in the pool, the boys are going to want to get in with you. And she's like, well, And I said, let me tell you why. You can't get in the pool because I love you. You know, it was like, oh my gosh, what if something happened? You would never be able to live a day in your life without remembering that. It is because I love you, you cannot get in the pool. Do you hear that? You know? And she tracked and she said, oh. And she realized that I loved her enough to push through that whininess. Because there's the boundary, and in that boundary, they can live free. So, enabling versus equipping. Equipping. Meaningful responsibility puts meat on the bones of words that we tell, and I know you tell your kids, you can do anything you put your mind to, okay? Yes, you can, should be our mantra with these kids. Yes, you can, but how will they know that's true if they don't do things that they didn't think they could do, okay? All right, let's go to the next one. Oh, yeah, I do it. I'm so sorry. See, I'm flaky all over. All right, so, okay, here's another thing. If it's an issue, it's going to be in the headlines, all right? And it is. You know, I looked today. There were 3 articles today. Here's a couple. How helicopter parents can ruin kids' job prospects. Because we help them with their homework so that they can get A's. Because if they get A's, then they're good to go. Or we hire, the latest thing is hiring tutors and people to actually, you can hire a professional to help your child with their college application. That's the world I sit in right now, not going to meetings because they make me feel so bad because I'm like, oh my gosh, we didn't do SAT study classes. And all these things that it's like, because you know your kid's going to compete against somebody, a professional that went over this essay and this essay and this essay. And so as a parent, I think, well, if I don't do that, how's it going to work? Because they're not going to match up. And there goes fear to tell me that I need to believe the world and jump after that. Because, and it's all the time. We do it with 3. Did you put your 3-year-old on a soccer team? Yes. Why? Really? Did you sit out there and go, why? I mean, it is fun to be out there, sort of. And then you watch them all like a little huddle, just going, and then you watch like Timmy, and he's like, and he's biting the kids, and he's kicking them, and he's like stealing the ball. And then at the end of the season, you have everybody come up, and they do the trophy award ceremony, or the medals, And then the coaches call all the kids up, and they're like, Timmy, come on up here. Because all the parents are back there, so you have to call them all up. Timmy, you get the most spirited award. You are so spirited, And Timmy kicked and bit everybody the whole season. But if you don't say something nice about Timmy, then you're in trouble. And all the other kids know, and Timmy knows, and there we go. Because if we don't have them on those teams, then they won't make the pre-select teams, which now, from what I was in Roanoke a few weeks ago, and they said there's academy that 4-year-olds can be in where you can actually pay with a comma in your check to have a 4-year-old on an academy team. So because if they aren't on Academy, then they won't be on the right pre-select. And if they're not on the pre-select, then they're not going to be on the right club team. And if they're not on the right club team, then they're not going to make the junior high team. And if they're not on the junior high team, for sure, no high school team. And if they are not on that high school team, and I said soccer, but I know it's lacrosse now. It just is. Then they will run with that goth crowd, and that is bad. You know? So they must. Three-year-old lacrosse. Oh, my gosh, and the equipment. And then you're like, please, who can I borrow a helmet from? Because you're like getting a new mortgage to pay for all the equipment of lacrosse. And then to go out, it's just, the insanity of it is, it's fascinating. And so then it piles onto our schedules a gazillion, jillion things that we can't even do. So your Saturday morning is like singeing hair. It's gone. And that's the time with our family. It's so true, though, isn't it? Why do we do it? Is it that important? I don't know. It might be worth rethinking, okay? Helicopter parents can ruin their kids' job prospects. There was a study that was done at the University of the State. It was University of Michigan. And they went to 500 employers, and they asked them what was the, you know, people that come to their campus. And they said, what is the parental involvement with you and these kids getting out of college? And they said over half of the initial contact they have with the child is from the parent. Okay, which is so interesting. And then they said over a third of the parents maintain the interaction with the employer, and over 5% actually attend the interview. Yes, it's a gasper, isn't it? Who in this room even told their parents where they interviewed? I mean, really, could you just go back? Did they even know? Were you happy to show up for the SAT? Did anyone in this room study for the SAT? Probably not. I mean, it's like, oh, that's tomorrow. And then you're going, oh, I just hope I wake up for the darn thing. Because we didn't know. And then it was like college was great. You took the courses. You know, maybe we conversed with our parents a little bit, but we didn't have our parent talking to our college professor. Well, you do now. And there are actually universities that have segments on the campus to take care of the parents because the parents are so involved. And even to get them off of the campus after they've come on, okay? And it's a little bit of trouble now with companies because they cannot get the parents to stay out. There are some companies that are capitalizing on it. Goldman Sachs, I think it's Goldman Sachs, actually has started to milk the, because they know those parents are gonna be great customers. And so they welcome it. It's just very interesting. All right, hyperparents can make college-aged children depressed. This came out last year, and this was brutal because they had the World Health, this is off of a World Health Organization study that was done on illnesses, and they discovered with all of the studying that they did that depression is the second leading cause of illness in the world right now. And by 2020, they said it will be the number one cause of illness. Isn't that crazy? And they couldn't do, they tried to track it back to something because with levels that high, the only time they've ever seen levels that high were in the Great Depression, when there were huge natural catastrophes, things that actually caused people to be depressed, and they couldn't find it, and they tracked it back to hyperparenting. Because these kids get into life and they don't know who they are because their parents have lived their life for them with the best of intentions. And they don't know. They can't launch because they don't know how to launch because they've never had to do anything on their own without knowing there was an umbrella to catch them. There's more. Up here on which would be your left, that one's hilarious. That was an Easter egg hunt in Colorado that had to be canceled because the parents were so aggressive in going and getting the eggs because they wanted to make sure that their children had eggs. But they had to cancel the Easter egg hunt. Okay? Time Magazine last year in May, this one was brutal. It was the cover of their magazine was the Me, Me, Me generation. And underneath that cover right there, the title, is the worst word that they've applied to this generation. They're Gen Y, which they've renamed Gen Me, and then there's also a name that's come along with it called narcissist, the generation of narcissists. And you will see that term. And that's a clinical term that means that you are so consumed with yourself that you can't think of anybody or anything but yourself. And that is devastating. Really, as a believer, that's the absolute opposite of what we know to be true as where you would find peace and joy. It's just the opposite. What did the Lord say when people approached him and said, what's the greatest commandment? What did he say? Please tell me. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love them as I loved you. Love the Lord God with all your heart, soul, and mind. Where are your eyes when you do that? Anybody? They are not on yourself. And that's the gift. The gift is this. You're content and happy when your eyes are not on you. And the world is saying, look at you, look at you, look at you, look at you. Oh, because a narcissist can't have a job. A narcissist doesn't have friends. Because the only friendships a narcissist has are the ones that benefit them. Okay? A narcissist doesn't have a relationship in a marriage or anything like that because they can't look out. It's all to serve me. What a tragedy. You know, and I sit there and I think about that for my kids, and I'm like, if there's anything I want for them, I want them to be grounded in God's truth. Because I know I'm messing it up. You know, I tell them all the time, I love you more than anyone on this planet. Like, really anybody. But even with all that love, I know I'm going to do something in about 5 minutes that's not going to look like love. And it's going to be selfish, you know? Because you're bothering me. So go away. But the Lord loves you, and it never, ever moves. He's always pursuing you. You know, and it's like, that is true. This truth he tells you, you're happy with your eyes off you onto others. It's a beautiful thing. And believe it or not, it is all around in your house. And it's for free. People hire trainers to make their kids great at things. You have everything in your house for free to actually make your child independent and confident and really a happy person. Even though the happiness might be like, there might be some whining woven within. This one, okay, the one, when helping hurts, there, it's an interesting article. That was another study that was done. It was published in the Journal of Child and Family Studies. They say that the more helicopter parenting that we do, the less satisfied college children feel with their lives, which is interesting. This one on the bottom, the mollycoddle, because if you think it's just here, it's not. It's interesting because most of this stuff comes from England. They really must be dying over there. And they use the word mollycoddled, which I think is hilarious. And it says mollycoddled kids grow up as narcissists. Psychologists warns growth of playdates supervised by adults is creating a generation of children who cannot empathize, which is another very interesting thing because we have made our playground so safe that children can't do anything. You know, everything is controlled and every playdate is organized and we can't even let these kids play. And they're realizing that that's a huge hurdle, that when we steal that from them, we are doing major problems with their psyche, okay? Because we don't in that play, that free play, they don't learn how to solve problems. Which boys duke it out. They do all kinds of things, and mothers are like, no, you know, stop that. Tell them you're sorry. You know, and there we are, because we've got to jump on it. And the playgrounds, they found this very interesting. They've started to open playgrounds in Great Britain that are free play. They don't even allow parents in there. And believe it or not, there are things like fire. Yeah, they let kids go. There are supervisors on the playground, but there's like ways for them to light fire. They can climb up and go down things. They can build whatever they want. And they've had no accidents. Isn't that fascinating? Because kids know. But they said what it does for a child to be able to be up high and feel that fear and conquer that fear does so much for them in their mental growth. The same with fire. They, to be able to start something and to respect it because someone has told them how to do it and then walked away, and they get to feel that, especially for boys. It's huge for boys.